Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live. We really appreciate you taking the time. We are recording this interview in, could you tell us where we are?
Yeah, you are at St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg, and you are inside the laboratory.
I've never been back here before, and probably a lot of people haven't other than staff and
it's pretty restricted space. Yeah, very special.
Right. It's enormous. This is where they do all the blood testing and all.
Yes, and actually the spot where you're sitting at right now is part of the new construction that we just finished. Within the last couple of years, we moved into this space happening.
Right. Well, Aaron, we're going to be talking about COVID-19 testing and various options with you. But first, before we get into that, can you just give us a quick overview of the hospital-based labs that you have and their capabilities? I know that you also have what's called a system lab in Peoria. So what can you do here locally and what has to be sent to Peoria?
Locally, I help oversee the laboratories that are at St. Luke in Kewaunee, Holy Family in Monmouth, and here in Galesburg at St. Mary's. All three laboratories have similar capabilities, and that includes rapid COVID testing. A lot of communities still do not have that. We're very fortunate that we're able to offer that. And that means that if you come into the hospital with symptoms, we are able to do rapid testing for you. The test itself only takes 15 minutes. And if it's a routine outpatient type thing, you need your COVID test done prior to surgery. Those routine tests, we're sending those on to Peoria, to our system laboratory at St. Francis. And they're running about 1,900, 2,000 tests a day, with 24 to 48 hour turnaround times currently.
My gosh, that is how much more is that work is that than what they're used to? Is that
I mean, and that's the struggle with COVID. It's pretty much work on top. We're still doing everything that we used to do, seeing normally sick patients and helping everybody that we used to help. It's just now we have this extra on top of everything.
Now, if someone doesn't have any symptoms, but they want to be tested for COVID-19 because, well, let's just say they were around extended family at Thanksgiving, what should they be doing?
People that do want to get tested for COVID, even if they don't have any symptoms, they should be visiting a community testing site. And those are listed on the Illinois Department of Public Health website, dph.illinois.gov/testing. To my knowledge, I've had that test done a couple times. It's still free. They just ask for an insurance card in case they are able to bill anything.
Now, we keep hearing the hospitals are getting full and the emergency rooms are flooded, but people are still, if they think they have symptoms, they're still showing up at the emergency room, and that's really not the best thing to do.
Still come to the emergency room if you have those severe symptoms.
Of course, life-threatening, right? I mean, yes.
But that you are correct. If you are asymptomatic, if you don't have any symptoms, the emergency room is really not the place to be for you right now. You don't want to come in here just to get an order for a COVID test, sitting in our waiting room healthy. You just don't want to be, you know, out in the public in general right now if you're healthy, if you can stay away from it.
That's right. So what about people who do have symptoms, or maybe they're concerned that their symptoms might be COVID-related? What do they do?
Yeah, there's a bunch of options. You can use the OSF chatbot. Her name is Claire. She's available on the OSF website at osfhealthcare.org. I've used that before. You just type and she talks to you and answers all your questions. Yeah. If you want to talk to a person, you can call the OSF COVID-19 nurse hotline, and that's available 24/7 too. That's at 833-OSF-KNOW, K-N-O-W. And if it's not an emergency, you know, you can call your doctor, call your primary care provider, or go to OSF Prompt Care.
But, again, we do want people to come to the emergency department if they're having life-threatening symptoms. Obviously, call 911 if it's really life-threatening. Yeah. But, you know, what are some of those things that they should be watching out for?
Oh, and we've heard that in the news, too, yeah, about people staying home instead of coming in and getting treated. And yeah, chest pain, difficulty breathing, you know, if you're having a seizure, a headache, blurred vision, if you got a fever, abdominal pain, if you're bleeding, you know, the usual emergency room stuff. If you have that, still come in. We need to treat you and you need to be seen.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Galesburg, Illinois. Went to school at Illinois State University. I was pre-med. Then I looked at how much the student loans were going to be, even more, going to medical school. Talked to my counselor, and she introduced me to medical laboratory science. We realize that not a lot of people even know we exist. That's why we try to keep putting our names out there. You watch shows like House, and it's the doctors running all the lab tests and the x-rays, and it's just not the case. You have people working in the radiology department. You have people working in the laboratory department.
So that TV's not telling us the truth, is that?
Can you believe it?
Yeah, these are the real heroes back here, right? These are the people behind the scenes.
Nationwide right now, we're really trying to put it out there. You know, we're the people in the laboratory. We're the ones that are running those specimens. Of course, it takes an entire team. We have nurses and nurse techs and providers, too, and more, collecting the specimens for COVID. And it takes a team effort.
You're the frontline workers, too. You are being exposed to this as much as any of the nurses and the care providers.
Oh, yes. We've had contact with thousands of patients. Yeah. We realize that we signed up for this. This is why we're here. We're here to help people.
How big is your team?
Here at St. Mary's, we have about 30 mission partners. We have roughly 10 or a dozen at St. Luke and Holy Family.
Mm-hmm. How is everybody holding up back here in the midst of all of this?
When the news stories were really coming out the last 3 weeks about healthcare worker burnout, it kind of coincided with us all kind of feeling that way. And we did have a rough couple weeks there before Thanksgiving where testing just kept increasing. And now we're doing good again. Yeah. And, you know, it just ebbs and flows. And, you know, you have your good days and your bad days. And you recuperate and you come back and do it all over
again. That's right. Talking about recuperating, you had COVID-19. Tell us about your experience.
Well, working at three laboratories, I figured it was going to be inevitable no matter how much hand washing and mask wearing that I would do. It took until late September. And we were still in the governor's good graces for, you know, having small meetings with each other. And I had a dinner with four people. And 3 days later, all four of us were positive. My two-year-old son, Logan, he went positive also. Didn't affect him at all, thank goodness. But the four of us, we had, you know, slight fever for a day, a little bit of cough. But really the exhaustion and, you know, trying to catch your breath. We all felt that. And we realized how lucky we are to be able to pull through that with not having those severe symptoms that a lot of people are having.
Absolutely. I felt the same way. My wife and three kids had it. Small family gathering, that's all we did. We didn't go anywhere, really do anything. We were playing Uno on a Saturday night. So, I mean, it's and we were also fortunate that we had pretty mild symptoms compared to what others are facing. And we really do see that here in the hospital. The hospitals are filled with people who are really hit hard.
Yes, certainly we're keeping the sickest here so that we can keep treating them. If you get a positive diagnosis and you're able to go home, you know, it's not great, but situations could be a lot worse. Stay home, rest, relax, drink your fluids, and let your provider know if anything changes.
Right. Aaron, can you go into a little more detail about the kind of tests available and how healthcare providers decide which one you should get?
Sure. The gold standard from day one has been PCR, which is a fancy test, polymerase chain reaction. I'll tell you, it's a fancy way of cloning little bits of something until we can get it to a detectable level and we can say that it's positive. Besides that test, we also run two rapid tests, again, at all three laboratories. And those tests are really for the acutely symptomatic, that you've had symptoms only for the first 5 days or 7 days, and we can run those. With any of these tests, a positive is actually kind of a good result. Having a diagnosis is good. On one of our rapid tests, a negative result just kind of points to, you know, maybe you haven't collected a good enough specimen, for instance. Maybe we weren't able to amplify it out well enough.
You've mentioned a couple tests. How about that standard test? How long does it take to get the results?
That PCR test, to do all that complicated work, it takes about 90 minutes. St. Francis, which is running 2,000 of those a day right now, they're able to batch a couple hundred at a time. And that's why those results are taking 24 to 48 hours. These quick tests that we have, the rapid tests, you know, it does take only 15 minutes per patient. Yeah. But we only have a couple analyzers, too. We're still restricted with how much material we have to work with.
Mine, I got mine back in about 24 hours. It was, and really all of my family, it was pretty quick. How about for you, your test?
From the start of the pandemic, I've had 6 different COVID tests. The one that I got here at St. Mary's was the quickest because I went to St. Francis and I got results in about 24 hours. Thank goodness for the Department of Public Health and our state laboratories that we have. They're burdened with many more specimens. They do have a turnaround time of about 4 to 7 days right now, but they're taking a lot of the pressure off the hospitals.
We heard a lot about the challenges of getting testing supplies. Is that still a struggle for you?
Yes and no. There's still struggles for a lot of supplies. This was and still is a global pandemic, and a lot of the companies that we use for our supplies are global companies. We try to secure everything that we can and stay, you know, months ahead on everything that we can. With a lot of the COVID testing supplies, in the very beginning, there weren't many options. We could only send tests to places like the state labs, and we've slowly, it's taken this long to get this level of testing capability up and running in smaller communities like Galesburg. Even larger communities like Peoria, it took a long time.
They just converted to testing all nasal.
Yes, thank goodness.
But I thought that they were all nasal anyway. Right, was that instead of using the long, because my first test, and I'm sure you had this too, was the back to touching your brain. You know,
yes,
and
that's a new sensation.
That was an interesting thing. You're glad that they went to the nasal only.
Yes. If you go onto the FDA's website, you can see how there's hundreds of kits that have been approved for emergency use. Right. And each one of those kits can have a different specimen. That we've seen, you know, saliva, oral, just swabbing your cheeks. Yeah. Nasal, the nasal pharyngeal, anywhere in there that we can collect, there's a kit out there that'll take it. The thing for us with the kits that we were using was that nasal pharyngeal was the preferred specimen, and that over time we've been able to confirm that nasal is just as sensitive for us, and we're finally able to offer that to Galesburg.
So the virus attaches itself, starts in the nose. Is that how this?
All those wet spaces up in your head, yeah, the virus will live up there.
Okay. And is it more airborne? Because we hear that it's, you know, yes, that it's on surfaces. No, it's not on surfaces. I hear, but definitely seems like everybody agrees that it's airborne.
Currently, we're considering it air or droplet, but not airborne.
Oh, okay.
And that the last I heard, they concluded that it wasn't living on surfaces for too long.
Aaron Stevens is a lab manager for OSF Healthcare. You have three different hospitals,
yes.
St. Mary Medical Center, Holy Family in Monmouth, and St. Luke in Kewaunee. Right. Okay. You're a busy person.
I just help get everybody all the supplies they need to do their job.
Yeah.
It's all the frontline mission partners doing all the testing. They're the real heroes. I just get them the supplies they need.
Well, are hospital-based labs like what you run coordinating testing with state government? And if so, can you explain how?
Yes. We're currently getting a lot of our supplies from the state IDPH laboratories. We couldn't do all the testing that we're doing without those supplies that we're getting from them. And we had to coordinate with those laboratories in the very beginning to help spread that testing around since we didn't have all the materials that we could do. There were times when we might only be able to test, you know, a couple dozen patients a week in those early stages, and that would be the sickest of the sick. So depending on the state to be able to perform those testing in the beginning and to provide us with materials, that's what we're thankful for.
So we've heard from the President-elect Joe Biden and newer members he's appointed to the National COVID-19 Task Force. Well, they say that they plan to ramp up testing once he's sworn into office. Are you optimistic that'll happen, given the current manufacturing and supply chain systems in place right now?
I think it's only going to get better. I think we're on the uphill slope of everything getting manufactured more. During his campaign, he pledged to put a national testing plan in place with the goal of testing as many people each day as we're currently testing each week, a sevenfold increase. He promised to mobilize the federal government to a far greater degree to ramp up manufacturing of testing supplies. And also the PPE for the health workers.
Yeah.
I also read a story in Politico. 4 people in the administration were quoted as saying that the strategies under discussion included increasing the availability of cheap rapid tests, using the Defense Production Act to beef up the supply of pipettes, chemicals, and other testing stuff, and strengthening the federal coordination of testing.
Yeah.
If, you know, if everything falls in line, then yeah, we'll continue to see those increases in the availability of testing, and that's what will really keep, you know, the sick people home and not infecting everybody.
Now, the Knox County Health Department has these free testing events that they've done at the Knox County Fairgrounds. Has that been helping? Do you think that's been a help to get our test numbers up so we can open things up back again, right?
Especially over the Thanksgiving weekend, they were a big help, keeping those patients out of the hospital, potentially.
Really? That helps you?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's a team effort, not just, you know, between the three hospitals here or, you know, between different organizations in the community. It's, you know, it is a state and a countrywide effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Stevens is the lab manager for OSF Healthcare. And I'm guessing that the FDA's decision recently to approve the first fully at-home test is going to give those efforts a boost, right? So what do you know about that at-home test? And is this thing really a breakthrough?
It is some very interesting technology. I'll reiterate that it's not approved by the FDA.
Okay.
It's the FDA has given it emergency use authorization.
Okay.
It is this all-in-one little test kit. It looks like something that you would buy, like, over-the-counter in the pharmacy. It's a molecular single-use test, so it's the same kind of technology that we're using here in our laboratory. It's expected to cost about $50. It does require a prescription,
okay, so
it might be covered by insurance.
Do you think that people can be trusted to do it themselves? I mean, because I know that at some of the free testing events, they give you the swab and then you're supposed to do it. Does that come into play when you're trying to get the results when it's sent to you in the lab?
As a scientist, that's our first worry.
Yeah.
That's where that false negative will come right in. If you don't get a good specimen, it's going to be negative.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So, but they said I saw this. It was only going to be available in Florida and California right off the bat, right?
To start, yes.
Okay.
And yeah, as far as the price, it might still be cheaper than, you know, that hospital visit to the ER for sure. And it might end up being cheaper than prompt care. But just know that, you know, if you need the medical professional to collect the specimen and you want it, you know, on your official medical record, the only way to do it is to, you know, have a medical professional perform it.
Thank you to you and your staff for everything you're doing. You're the behind the scenes, the unsung heroes here. Really, all of the mission partners here at OSF, you don't get the credit that you deserve. You're really putting yourselves, you know, out there to protect the public. So thank you.
I appreciate that. But yeah, the whole hospital, everybody in here, from the people working in the cafeteria to the housekeepers, where it takes the whole team to take care of our patients.
Absolutely. Well, we wanted to talk about blood donations. They're really needed right now. Can you talk about the blood supplies and how that shortage could really translate into problems here in the future?
Yeah. Well, you can imagine the usual donors are typically the elderly.
Yeah.
And as soon as people were told to stay home and not leave, and, you know, there's a pandemic that really affects the elderly, those donations really dropped off. Sad to say that the traumas and the people that need blood did not drop off. So the blood supply is still trying to recover. We'll take everything that we can get. Of course, we appreciate those people that are the universal donors, the O negative people for the blood. If you want to donate plasma and you know that you're type AB, that's really valuable too right now.
Why is that valuable right now?
Yeah, universal donors, those are the types that we can give to people in those trauma situations. We can give you that blood in a matter of seconds without having to do testing, and you're going to be okay.
When we talk about that the blood supply is down, do you have any figures that you've heard on just how bad this is?
Seeing that we're sitting at about a 2 to 3 day supply with our blood supplier at Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center over in Davenport. They do an incredible job of sourcing blood from all over the country, Texas, Missouri, you know, all over, to get us what we need. And so far, throughout the entire pandemic, all three of the hospitals have never been below the par level that we set for, you know, having a safe amount of blood.
Okay. And you're actually OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center's hosting a blood drive.
Yes. If you want to come out, we're going to have a mobile unit. Plenty of cleaning getting done in there. You don't have to be scared about that. That's going to be held here at St. Mary Medical Center December 22nd, and that'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I ask you to go ahead and look on their website before you come. There's some extra verbiage about wearing masks and how appointments are required now.
Okay. So you do have to have an appointment for this blood drive.
Yes. Yeah. So they can accommodate the space and clean adequately.
Aaron Stevens is a lab manager at OSF Healthcare donating blood. Tell us how safe it really is. It is.
Oh, it's incredibly safe.
Yeah.
I've been donating blood since I was 16. And I just recently, after recovering from COVID, started donating the COVID convalescent plasma, CCP, that we can give patients that are sick. Honestly, you're done within 90 minutes of donating blood. There's usually drinks and refreshments and food for you. And, you know, you're in and out, and you're really helping to save potentially multiple lives.
Right. I had interviewed Kirby Wynn from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center several months ago, talking about this convalescent plasma. Could you share a little bit about that? It's given to COVID-19 patients, and it is helping them recover faster, right?
That's what we're starting to see, yes. As we're giving the units out, they're also all the patients are also being monitored. We're kind of running a study in real time with these patients to see if it's working or not. It's been a successful therapy with other infections in the past. So we tend to believe that that will, you know, also hold true here. Scientifically, I won't be able to say, you know, that it's proven that this will work, you know, 100% of the time. But we have every reason to think that it will, and it can't hurt.
So it's basically taking someone who has had COVID-19.
And you're making your own medicine in your body with your antibodies. Even as we're sitting here now, the antibodies are still in our system. And you just go and you get to sit down and they take those antibodies out of you. They take your blood out, get the plasma from it, and give you your blood back. And you get to walk out feeling good. And there's a whole bag of COVID antibodies ready to give the next patient that needs it.
But the supply is pretty limited right now. There's
yes.
not a lot of people doing this.
If you take all the restrictions that we've already put into place and add in that you have to be a COVID positive patient that's recovered, yeah, it's even a smaller subset of the population. So
wow.
We're trying to follow up with our patients that are feeling better and letting them know that, you know, in a month, if you can, go donate some plasma.
Wow. Well, that's a great message to get out. And again, your blood drive is on the 22nd of December, 10 to 2, here at the parking lot at OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center, right?
That's correct. And anytime you want, we also have a Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Donation Center over on Knox Square Drive near Walmart. You've probably seen the building. I'm actually, as you're listening to this, since we're not live, I'm actually donating some plasma this Saturday at 7:30. So
you're probably sitting in the chair right now.
I'm going to be reclined with a pillow behind my head and my headphones in, watching TV. Yep.
Donating this convalescent plasma.
Yeah, having my coffee for the morning.
I'll be darned. Yep. Well, that is wonderful. Get to the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center website, impact@mvrbc.org, or you can call them and they can give you all the details on this, right? Aaron Stevens is a lab manager for OSF Healthcare. And we're going to wrap things up talking about, we don't have much time to talk about this, even though we could spend probably a couple hours talking about it. But it's probably, as you mentioned earlier off the mic, one of the most controversial topics in the world right now. And it's this COVID-19 vaccine. Anything you can tell us about that?
I can tell you that a federal advisory panel earlier this week gave recommendations to the FDA on who should get the vaccine first. The CDC panel said that state public health programs should prioritize early supplies for healthcare workers and nursing home residents so that we can take care of the sick and so that the most at-risk population can be taken care of.
Yeah. So healthcare workers and nursing home residents should
yes.
be the first to get this.
Yeah, then those recommendations will help guide officials through the early phase of the mass immunization program when only enough doses will be available for a small fraction of the population.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about, you know, a worldwide problem, and we have a few manufacturers of the vaccines, and some vaccines are going to take, you know, a booster to get two shots. In those manufacturer trials, they're just not getting the satisfactory antibody levels without that second booster. So it's going to be a big process to get the entire world
to get
vaccinated.
Two shots. Yeah. I mean, yeah. 7 billion people or more.
Yeah. That could potentially be 14 billion shots. With that being said, the Illinois Department of Public Health is in charge of coming up with a distribution plan in our state. And our people have been in close communication with that. Dr. Fauci has said that we'll see the first doses distributed before the end of the month.
Do you agree with everything he's been doing? I mean, he's had a tough job.
He speaks like a scientist, which I can appreciate.
Yes.
You know, part of being a scientist is getting new data and changing your stance and rolling with it.
Yeah. How is OSF Healthcare helping with the distribution?
OSF Healthcare has a centralized supply system and excellent logistics, which are going to help with distribution. We're planning for more than one vaccine to distribute, so that can add a layer of complication. But we have had been planning stages for quite some time, and we're confident that we'll be ready.
All right. Well, it sounds like you've got a great team here. And We have every confidence in you and all the mission partners here at OSF Healthcare. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live. And please give our best to your staff, your team members, and we hope that you stay safe and I hope we all get through this soon, right?
Yes, absolutely. We understand everybody's exhausted and tired of everything, too, and it's just going to take all of us working together to get rid of this thing.